All right. Thank you for that introduction. Like you said, my name is Michael Plumley. I'm a graduate student at Mississippi State under the direction of Dr. Darren Dodds and Dr. Jason Kreutz. And today I'll be sharing with you a little bit of research that I've been working on the past two summers, looking at scheduling irrigation with soil moisture sensors in cotton. So to start off with a little introduction, specifically more about Mississippi cotton. Cotton is a major commodity in Mississippi. Prior to 2007, Mississippi was planting around 405,000 hectares of cotton annually. Since 2007 until now, we're planting approximately on average 175,000 hectares of cotton. A few reasons for the reason that we've seen a decline in planted area would be things like price. Has been fluctuating the past couple of years. Insects and weed pressure, especially tarnished plant bugs and palm amaranth. High commodity prices of alternative crops like soybean and corn. Crop rotation, which is kind of interesting to me coming from the southeast. In Mississippi, there are some fields that have been continuous cotton for several years, and we're starting to see some of that rotation come into effect, and as well as diversification where we're starting to see farm enterprises being more diversified and growing other crops to reduce risk. So why should we even worry about irrigating cotton? I know I've always kind of grown up hearing, you know, cotton's a drought-tolerant crop. It's got taproot. It's native to tropical, subtropical regions, and it has an indeterminate growth habit that helps compensate for adverse environmental conditions throughout the growing season. So in reality, cotton does need a relative amount of water. So if we're going to start discussing irrigation, the first thing we need to determine is, okay, how much water is cotton actually going to utilize? So I'd like to share with you this graph here that is showing the cotton water use curve. And on the y-axis, we have ET, or evapotranspiration, and this is basically how much water the cotton is using per day in inches. And on the x-axis, we have day after planting. So there's two main points that I'd like to share with you on this, and the first is, in cotton, we really don't start to see our water use increase until we hit reproductive growth around first square, first bloom mark. And the second point being, our maximum water use is during peak bloom, where we're maximizing at around 0.7 centimeters of water use per day. Also, would like to share with you this. This is a graph showing planted cotton acreage hectares in Mississippi on the y-axis in year from 1972 until present day. The green line is the acreage or area of planted cotton in Mississippi. The blue line is how many acres are irrigated, and the white is dry land. So kind of the point I wanted to show with this is, obviously, our irrigated acreage has increased over the years, and now we're somewhere between 40% to 50% of our acreage being irrigated. So I think that properly scheduling our irrigation in cottons with this amount of area being irrigated is going to be very important, especially now and in the future. About 70% of the irrigation in Mississippi, especially the Delta region, is applied by the furrow method. Furrow irrigation is probably one of the least efficient methods that we can utilize, being about 50 to 60% efficient. So ways that we can improve our irrigation efficiency through this method would be things like using surge valves, computerized hole selection, and then proper scheduling, which is what we're going to focus in on today. A majority of the water that is used for irrigation in Mississippi is derived from the Mississippi River Valley alluvial aquifer, which spans from West Tennessee down into northern Louisiana. Some of the past few years, they've started to implement some monitoring on this aquifer, and they have noticed that the recharge is not compensating for the amount of water that we have been using, since this aquifer is recharged by rainfall. So with all that being said, kind of where this falls into the importance of irrigation management, first being regulation on water use. I'm sure many of you are aware of the water wars and things of that nature that are going on in California and the West. But that's kind of starting to hear and see things like that in the Mid-South. A majority of the wells that we are using for agricultural water use have a permitted value associated with it, where we can apply 18 acre inches a year on row crops. And like I mentioned before, we have seen a voluntary flow meter program just to kind of monitor what's going on. So this may eventually be put into regulation if we're exceeding what we should be pulling out. Producer economics, obviously, is important. We don't want to increase our input costs. We want to maximize our yields, though, at the same time, so we can increase our profits and then, again, use our resources wisely. So some of the previous research that's been done on irrigation in cotton, we've seen that irrigation, regardless of volume, has helped increase yield. The time period in cotton growing season from first flower to first flower plus 6 weeks is very sensitive to water stress. And then several other research studies have been conducted looking at irrigation scheduling, especially using things like ET data, weather data, and things of that nature. But a majority of these were with pivot irrigation systems and not furrow. So that leads us into our objectives. So the two main objectives that we had for this research was first to determine an optimum irrigation schedule trigger using soil moisture sensors in cotton, especially a furrow irrigated system. And then secondly, to determine if manipulating irrigation triggers throughout the season affected lint yield. So our materials and methods, we've conducted this trial in 2015 and 16 in Starkville, Mississippi at the RR Fall Plant Science Center on a leaper silty clay loam. Again, this trial was furrow irrigated. The variety that we selected was Stoneville 4946, which in 2015 was the number one planted variety in Mississippi, which accounted for around 29% of the planted area. And then we decided to use a soil matrix potential type moisture sensor so that we could get a hard number as far as a trigger value compared to using a volumetric type sensor. Our experimental design was set up with four row plots, 96 centimeter row spacing, 12.2 meter long plot length, four replications, and a randomized complete block design. And I would like to say in this picture it kind of illustrates how we were for watering with our four row plots. We were watering the three center furrows of the plot and harvesting the two center rows. These pictures just kind of help illustrate too how we were capturing the water that may have run off through the plots to ensure that we were not irrigating plots that we did not want to irrigate. So you can see here that as the plots were watered, the tail water would run into a ditch and would fall off of the field. The soil moisture sensors that we used were watermarks. Our sensor depths went from 15 centimeters to 90. So we had a 15, a 30, a 60, and a 90 centimeter depth. We installed our sensors by treatment so that we could monitor the soil moisture depending on how we were irrigating throughout the season. And then we were manually reading our sensors three times a week, which was typically Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So I also want to share with you this. This is from an aerometer who makes watermark, but this kind of is how in their literature they recommend these sensors be used, where typical irrigation range for row crops goes from 30 to 100 kilopascals depending on soil type. So what you can see in this picture is across the top of the graph we have our available water depletion as a percent. Typically we only allow 50% of our available water to be depleted before we trigger an irrigation. So if you go across the 50% and down to a loam or a clay soil, which is typical of Mississippi, and then across, you can see that that puts us around a kilopascal trigger of around 80 to 100 kilopascals. So that kind of helped us determine what our triggers are going to be. So moving on from there, we came up with two management regimes for how we were going to irrigate. We managed some plots full season, and we managed some plots within three growth stages. For the full season, we had a non-irrigated treatment. We had a 50 kilopascal treatment, which again was a very aggressive trigger, a 90 where we thought it should be, and then 130, which is more on the conservative side. Within the three growth stages, we had the first being emergence to first bloom, the second first bloom to peak bloom, and then the third peak bloom to first crack bowl. And the triggers that we had within each of these growth stages was a non-irrigated, a 90, and a 130. I'd also like to point out that when we were not within the growth stage, we were triggering irrigation at 75, which again is a little more aggressive to ensure we weren't implementing any drought stress outside of the growth stage. So Some of the data that we collected was height, node above crack bowl, water usage, lint yield, and fiber quality. These data were subjected to an analysis variance using ProcGlimix and SAS version 9.4. Means were separated using Fisher's Protected LSD at 0.1. So moving on to the results. First, I'd like to set up this slide. So we had lint yield in kilograms per hectare on the y-axis, and our treatment or trigger points across the x. And this was based on our full season management regime, and this data was pooled across 2015 and 16. And so what we saw was that our 90 kilopascal trigger really was our optimum trigger point for maximizing our yield. And something else that I thought was interesting was that the overall, the 50 kilopascal trigger, which was more aggressive, actually had lower yield than our 90. So that's maybe suggesting that we were overwatering or something of that nature, since it basically produces a similar yield to our non-irrigated treatments. Moving on to look at how our yield was affected when we managed by growth stage, we really didn't see any statistical differences across how we manipulated the triggers throughout the growing season. But one thing I would like to point out, even though we did observe these results, the emergence to first bloom kind of backs up what our current recommendation is for irrigation initiation, which in a furrow irrigated system, we're saying we want to go into bloom with adequate moisture in the soil. So from these data, it really supports what we are recommending currently, that from emergence to first bloom, our non-irrigated treatment still had a similar yield to whether we were using a 90 or 130 irrigation trigger. So with that being said, to conclude, our research agrees that a trigger of 90 to 100 kilopascals are sufficient for cotton in Mississippi. Manipulating our triggers throughout the growing season to show no significant effects in cotton, and our current recommendation for initiating irrigation at bloom still holds true. Some of the future research that we'd like to do from here on out would be to first correlate soil tension sensor data to volumetric sensors across Mississippi soil types. We would like to continue to fine-tune irrigation schedule in cotton, and then a further assessment of new cotton varieties and their response to irrigation. So with that, I'd like to thank my two major professors, Dr. Darren Dodds, Dr. Jason Kreutz, my fellow graduate students that helped me conduct this research, student workers, and the farm crew at the North Farm in Starkville. So with that, I'll take any questions that you may have. Sir. All right, so the question was, could I tell a little bit about the rainfall pattern that we had for 2015 and 2016? So in 2015, we did not trigger as much as 2016. We did have what seemed to be pretty relatively, we had rainfall pretty regularly, I guess you should say. This year, this past summer, it started out a little wet at planting, but it actually turned relatively dry. We could follow the soil moisture sensors all the way up to first bloom, and it did really actually follow the cotton water use curve, where I didn't trigger until I got to first bloom. So, but other than that, it was relatively dry throughout the season, so I felt like this summer it really held true to what an irrigation test should be. And then after that, we did get a little bit of rain, so. Okay, so the question was, I'm using different triggers, and I've got four different depths of sensors. How was I determining when to trigger? So basically what you do is, when you're checking your sensors, you can actually determine the rooting depth of the plants by if the sensors are triggering. So depending upon that, you take into account the soil depth that the moisture is being utilized from, and then you take a percentage of each sensor, add them together and get the average. So, for example, if I was using all four sensors to come up with a trigger point, I would take the reading from the 6-inch or 15 centimeter depth, and that would be 17% of what my trigger should be. Same thing with the 15 to 30 inch, or 30 centimeter, the 60 and the 90 would be 33%. So you add them together, get your trigger value, and then you irrigate.
Thank you.